Unfortunately, friends, I have to announce that due to Mr. Ramsbottom having a very heavy cold, he is unable to be with us today. But Mr. Tim Parrish has kindly agreed to, God willing, preach for us this evening. And I would also just announce that Amelia Cox is very ill in hospital. May we begin with hymn 278. I know the Lord is nigh, and would but cannot pray, for Satan meets me when I try, and frights my soul away. 278.
Thank you.
read three portions from the first book of Samuel. Firstly, chapter 21. That's the first book of Samuel, chapter 21, 27, and the first six verses of chapter 30. The first book of Samuel, chapter 21. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand, give me five loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it was sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that, give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behaviour before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Chapter 27. First book of Samuel, chapter 27. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his 2 wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, If I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, Whither have ye made a road today? And David said, Against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, Lest they should tell on us, saying, So did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant for ever. Now the first 6 verses of chapter 30. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's 2 wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man, for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave to pray.
Unto thee. Lord, we stand before thee. We have to come with confession as we have sung and would but cannot pray. For Satan meets me when I try and frights my soul away. So, Lord, we bow before thee now and ask, Wilt thou send the dear Holy Spirit of truth, that he might teach us what to ask for, that he might grant us those true desires to seek thee, that thou wilt come, that thou wilt withstand the power of Satan in our hearts, and grant us true prayer. O Lord, we scarce know how to say more. O Lord. Lord, remember me. Remember each dear soul here. Visit us. Speak to us, we pray. Tell us that we are accepted through the merits of thy dear Son, thy beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased, that when thou seest the blood, thou wilt pass over us. O Lord, we long to know that that dear Saviour suffered in our place for our sins, and that we are made free. So may the Holy Spirit descend upon us as the dew, to soften our hard hearts, to grant us true desires after thee. Lord, do come, manifest thyself unto us, as thou dost not unto the world. We look back to those past times when the word of the Lord was precious in our sight, when we leaned upon thee, when thou didst draw near and speak peace and pardon to our souls, and we long again for the renewing of those things. O, wilt thou grant us true repentance in our hearts, to leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in, that our eyes might be up unto Jesus, that he might reveal himself even this day, speak to our hearts that he suffered in our place for our sins. Lord Jesus, we pray that we may know thy love shed abroad in our hearts, and that thou wilt grant that holy love unto thee in return. Oh, how we grovel here below. Lord, lift us out of the things of time. Oh, may they be entirely left behind this day, and hearts' affections set on things above. Each one of us is drawing near to a vast eternity, never ending. Oh, make us ready. Oh, do deal with us, if it might be thy holy good pleasure. May not one soul be left out, from the oldest even down to the youngest. Oh, may we be found among that number whom thou hast washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb, those whom thou hast cleansed from every sin, those to whom thou hast put a new heart within them. Oh, may we be found among that number who shall sing thy praises to all eternity. And so we pray, Lord, for cleansing. We pray, Lord, for thy Spirit to reign in our hearts, to direct us to the bleeding wounds of Jesus, that he might take of those things and show them unto us. Open our blind eyes, Lord. Without thy Spirit we can see nothing of ourselves. We only have carnal reasonings. We long to be translated into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Oh, do remember each case before thee. Lord, thou knowest each one that has come into thy house this morning, the burdens that are upon them. We pray that thou wilt undertake and be the burden bearer. Have we not known many deliverances in providence? Have we not known many answers to prayer in the things of this life? Lord, and do help us to plead before thee, that as thou hast helped us hitherto, thou wilt help us. And do help us to plead, that as thou hast answered prayer in providence, so thou wilt also answer prayers for our souls, that thou wilt not leave one destitute of mercy, that thou wilt not leave one in the clutches of Satan, to be dragged down to hell. no desire after the life of God, no desire to be made ready for eternity, no desire to be quickened by the Holy Ghost. O Lord, do remember each soul. O may not one be left like this. O may thy work appear, and may it be for the glory of thy holy name, all of free and sovereign grace. O to prove that we are among the election of grace. O we do pray, Lord, remember each young soul here. We pray that thou wilt remember them. Hear the prayers of the little children. Thou didst say whilst upon earth, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. So we pray for the drawing power of the Holy Ghost even to the dear young ones. And we specially pray for one now who is very poorly, that thou wilt remember her, that thou wilt apply thy healing hand, and that she may prove to be a vessel of mercy, one whom thou hast ordained unto life. And we pray that thou wilt remember the parents also, and sanctify these things in their hearts. Visit them that they may know that this is among the all things that work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, we pray now, wilt thou come and help us in our service here? Oh, we do pray, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to come, that the word might be with power in our hearts, that we may have a sight of Jesus Christ, know that he is our Saviour, that he has rescued us from eternal ruin, deep despair. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt help our brother to read the sermon, and that it may be fresh as the day when it was first preached, the power of the Holy Ghost known, sealing the word in our hearts, and enabling us to cry unto thee for mercy. O Lord, do these things, we pray, not for our sakes, but for thy great name's sake. Thou who art most holy, wilt thou remember vile sinners? We remember thy servant now in afflictions past. Lord, this is another of thy providences upon us, and we wonder why. Lord, do cause us to inquire wherefore thou dost so contend with us. Lord, wilt thou come in it, prove by it that thou didst mean good toward us and not evil, though so often in these things we see it as the hand of a holy, heart-searching God who seeth the iniquity within us and sends his chastening hand upon us. O Lord, may we yet prove there was a purpose of love even in this. We pray that thou wilt remember thy servant and bless him and his dear wife together this day. Visit them, do them good also. And we pray for one expected among us this evening, that thou wilt turn the curse, as it were, into a blessing, that one could not come, but thou hast sent another. And so we ask, Lord, that it may prove that this is thy hand, and thou didst remember us in our lowest state, and that thou hast a word in season for us, and thou hast chosen one to deliver it. We pray that thou wilt be with us there. O Lord, do come. We pray for that softening of heart, that we may hear the word of the Lord, that we may humble ourselves under it, and be enabled by faith to look to one who suffered far more than we can ever suffer, that he might bring salvation to his children. Help us to pray for our nation. Lord, we pray that thou wilt appear. Nothing less will do. Leaving all to thee, the means, the place, the person, Lord, but oh, do overturn, that it may be known that thou yet reignest on high. Oh, help us to look to thee alone. Do these things for us. And Lord, we would thank thee for mercies countless as the sands, which daily we receive. And though, Lord, we live in troublous times, help us now to plead that thou wilt build the walls of Jerusalem as the walls were built in troublous times in the days of ancient Israel. O Lord, remember us, visit us, leave not one soul to go away this day disappointed. We plead with thee, unworthy of it, unworthy of the least of thy mercies, but we would fall at thy feet and look up unto thee who hast power to bestow. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1055. Come, ye souls by sin afflicted, bowed with fruitless sorrow down, by the broken law convicted, through the cross behold the crown. Look to Jesus, mercy flows through him alone. 1055. I will try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Ramsbottom, and you will find the text in Psalm 56, verse 3. Psalm 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. There is so much in the Word of God concerning trust. Really, it is the vital element in living God-given faith. There are so many exhortations in the Word of God to trust in the Lord. There are so many precious promises to those who are enabled to trust. Now, God's people do not always find it easy. Sometimes there is mistrust. Often there is fear. Oh, but may the Lord enable us to trust. He himself has said, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Oh, to trust the Lord at all times. Times of sorrow, times of affliction, times of temptation, times of disappointment. It is a wonderful thing when the Lord blesses us with this precious faith to trust in him. We have that beautiful word in Scripture, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Now, I do not think that means feeling confident, because often God's people feel the very opposite of confident. I believe it means that confiding in the Lord, that humble trust in the Lord. That is the confidence. That is the quietness at all times. That quiet confidence in the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. When blessed with that, that is our strength. And it is a weakness when, as our hymn writer says, we trust in self or something base instead of trusting sovereign grace. Oh, how often we do trust in ourselves or we trust in something else. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Now, David here makes this gracious resolve, not a carnal resolve, but a humble resolve. He is in trouble, but this resolve, I will trust in thee. Now, beloved friends, whatever be your state or case, whatever you are in at present, the Word of God really gives us four solid grounds for confidence in the Lord. Four solid grounds for trusting in him. And the first ground for trusting in the Lord, whatever be your state or case, is because of who the Lord is. He is God. He is almighty. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Nothing is too hard for him. He says, the cause that is too hard for you, and how many things are too hard for us? The cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. He is gracious. He is full of compassion. He understands. He knows. He loves. He cares. Now David says, I will trust in thee because of who thou art and because I know who thou art. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I will trust in thee. The second ground which is given in Scripture for trusting in the Lord, because of what he has done. The one we trust is the one who in creation spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. That is why in another place we have, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That is the ground of confidence, whatever be your state or case, because of what he has done. We think of all those wonderful things he did in Scripture, dividing the waters of the Red Sea, answering his people's prayers, performing so many miracles. The one we trust is that God who in Holy Scripture performed so many impossible things. Oh, but especially what he has done in Christ and what the dear Saviour has done in his finished work, in the great work of redemption. Now for a sinner feeling his need, feeling his guilt, concerned about eternity, that is the ground, the only ground of trust. What the Lord Jesus in love and mercy has done. What he did at Calvary. The fountain he opened in his precious blood. The work of redemption. He completed the ransom price he paid. That is the ground of confidence for a lost, ruined, guilty sinner. That is the only ground on which he can say, I will trust in thee, to see what Christ has done, to see mercy in the atonement, to see grace abounding over sin. The third ground of trust in the Lord, wherever you are this morning, is what the Lord is still doing. He is still on the throne. The government is still on his shoulder. He is still doing as he will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Oh, this ground of trust. But to see it in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, to trust in him because of what he is still doing. And what is he still doing? For thy people thou art pleading, there thou dost their place prepare, ever for them interceding, till in glory they appear. What is he still doing? For all that come to God by him, salvation he demands, points to their names upon his breast, and spreads his wounded hands. And faith at times says, thus, though a sinner, I am safe, and I can trust in him. I can trust him with my immortal soul. I can trust him to deal with all my sins. I can leave everything with him. I can trust in him. Oh, but what is he still doing? He is still answering prayer. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. He is still delivering sinners from the pit of corruption. He is still upholding his people. He is still supporting them in the trying hour. He is still giving them strength according to their day. He is still showing them mercy. He is still appearing on their behalf. He is still doing everything for them. Oh, this ground of confidence. We look around, not much ground for trust there. We look in our own hearts, not much ground for trust there. We look forward, not much ground for trust there. Oh, but if we're enabled by precious faith to look up, then we can say, I will trust and not be afraid. Well then, the fourth ground, wherever you are this morning, I will trust in the Lord because of what he has promised. What precious promises there are in Holy Scripture. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, or in the Lord Jehovah is the rock of ages. The sweet encouragement to trust him. Those precious promises concerning what he will do. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So a sinner, viewing the promise, says, I can trust in thee, Lord. Thou art faithful that promised. I see thy mercy in it, and so I venture. No confidence in self, but my hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. And that trust will never be put to shame. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Oh, may the Lord bless us as a congregation with this precious faith. This faith that looks to the Lord. This faith that trusts in him, hangs upon him. This trust that the Lord will honour. Oh, to be found trusting in the Saviour, and then to feel, I'm safe in my Redeemer's hands, who bears my name upon his heart. So the conclusion of this verse is glorious. I will trust in thee, not in vain confidence, duty, faith, nor pride, but the Lord enabling me to do so. And then, beloved friends, pondering this first part of the verse, in a sense, you get a solemn shock. In a sense, it is one of the strangest verses in all the Old Testament. What do I mean? David telling us that often he was afraid. If you think of an inveterate warrior, a courageous warrior, the one who comes to your thoughts straight away is King David. You would think he would not know what fear was. You would think he did not know what it was to be afraid. But it is David, the great David, the eminent David, who says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. We do not often think of these things. We think of young David going fighting against a bear and a lion, but naturally, he was afraid. We know the end of it. Then we think of young David going to fight against Goliath, and we think of that bold boy, but he is afraid. A lot of us are afraid, often afraid. People do not realize just how afraid other people are. I can tell you, I was afraid of ever having to preach. And the thing that made me afraid more than anything else, well, I felt I just was not fit to go in a pulpit. Oh, but the many fears. How often we are afraid. It was one of those godly Scottish covenanters, as he walked up the steps of the scaffold to be executed for the truth's sake, who turned to the people and said, I walk up these steps to my death with less fear than ever I walked up the steps of my pulpit. You do not know what fears people have. You do not know how other people are afraid. And you do not know that some people who seem the most confident are the least confident. Oh, but David says, what time I am afraid. Why did I read those various chapters this morning? Well, we do not exactly know the circumstances when David wrote many of the Psalms, but this one we do. We are told he wrote this psalm when the Philistines took him in Gath. I think you will find all the godly commentators, without exception, refer it to the first book of Samuel, chapter 21. But that was not the only time the Philistines took him in Gath. They took him again in chapter 27. But the point is, David acted very unwisely and very foolishly and very wrongly, and he got himself into trouble. And in his trouble, he was dreadfully afraid, awfully afraid. But the point is, when he was afraid, he realized he deserved it. When he was afraid, he realized he had brought it upon himself. When he was afraid, he almost feared to ask God to help him. Sometimes you are brought into a place and you are afraid. You are terrified. But you know you have brought it on yourself. But David, despite his sin, because the Lord was compassionate, says, I will trust in thee. I will still trust in thee despite my sins. Though my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? That first time, everything was going wrong in his life, so he ran away. You cannot run away from your troubles. In the land of the Philistines, he was afraid they were going to put him to death, so he pretended to be a lunatic. You think, this man of God acting so base a part. The second time, when the Philistines took him in Gath, he pretended he was one of them. He pretended he was against Israel, against God's people. He was being deceitful. But wasn't he afraid of having to go against the Lord's people in battle? Yet the Lord in a most wonderful way delivered him. That last verse I read, chapter 30, verse 6, was a beautiful verse. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and not in vain. In the 30th chapter, from which we read just the 6 verses, well might David be afraid. He found that the city where he lived had been destroyed by fire. Everything had gone. His wives and his children, his property, and not only that, his dearest friends turned against him, and the people spake of stoning him. In that chapter you have 3 scripture, and beloved friends, may some of you walk them out. David was greatly distressed. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David recovered all. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Well, that is David. What about you and me? What time I am afraid? Perhaps some of you children sometimes are afraid. Well, the Word of God tells us how we should act when we are afraid, whatever it is. To look to the Lord, to pray to him, to beg him to be with us, to ask him to help us. He will not be offended. You will not pray in vain. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. If you will, here you have a malady. Someone being terrified. Someone being afraid. But you have a remedy. Resting on the Lord. Looking to him alone. You have a problem. I'm afraid. You have a blessed answer. You are in a state of agitation. You do not know what to do. The Word of God tells you what you have to do. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Are you afraid because of your sins and because of a never-ending eternity? Are you afraid lest you are lost at last? Are you afraid that you should perish eternally? This is one of the fears that all God's people have. Being afraid is not always a bad thing. What do I mean? Well, I have known families who have lived close to a terribly busy road, and their children have been so terrified of being knocked down that they have kept right away from it. Being afraid is sometimes a good thing. People say that a minister should not frighten a congregation, that a minister should never make his congregation afraid. Well, one American preacher said, "The other side of the road from our house were ever so many poisonous snakes in the wood. I brought up my children to be afraid of them, and I want you to be afraid of sinking into hell at last. It's a good thing to be afraid." Some of us look back to that time when we were afraid. Can I bear the piercing thought? What if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call? Oh, but led by the Spirit of God to be enabled to trust in the merits of a once crucified but risen, exalted Saviour. Trust in his efficacious blood, nor fear thy banishment from God, since Jesus died for thee. Oh, that ground of confidence for a sinner who is afraid, for a sinner who fears the worst. The merits of Jesus, the rock foundation on which the Church of God is built, an almighty Saviour, able to save even to the uttermost, a willing Saviour. Oh, but to be enabled to venture on him, face venture, tremblingly, fearfully, but I will trust in thee. For I have nowhere else to flee, no sanctuary, Lord, but thee. Now no sinner ever perished there. However great his fears, however much afraid, trusting in the Lord, trusting in his merits, trusting in his precious sin-atoning blood, trusting in his name, the precious name of Jesus, trusting in him who is almighty to save. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Now many of God's people are afraid of falling, afraid in the trying hour, afraid when temptation comes, afraid of dishonouring their Lord and Master, because we can no more keep ourselves than save ourselves. Perhaps there have been times in your life when you have especially been afraid of falling. Well, the remedy, I will trust in thee, in humble prayer to be kept. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Oh, in your fears of falling, in your fears of temptation, trusting in the Lord. Hold thou me up and I shall be safe. Keep me from falling. Like Peter, oh, wasn't he afraid when he saw the wind boisterous and began to sink? But I will trust in thee. And wasn't Jonah afraid when feeling to be in the belly of hell? Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The Lord enable us to trust, enable us to look, enable us to depend. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I believe there are many times when God's people are afraid of taking a wrong step, when they are afraid of making a wrong decision. You have a choice to make. There is a decision to be taken. You are so afraid, perhaps even terrified of taking a wrong step. You are afraid of acting wrongly, afraid of making a wrong decision. I will trust in thee. That is, seek in his help, seeking his gracious leading. But what about that time when you have got to venture forward one way or another and you cannot see the way clear? Well, I believe if you are enabled honestly and sincerely to commit everything into the hands of an all-wise, all-gracious God, he will not let you make a mistake. He will not let you act wrongly. There is a lot of good divinity in that word of Joseph Hart: the traveller treads the surest here that seldom sees his way. That fearing, trembling, looking to the Lord every step, and sometimes your darkness will be your light. You are so afraid of moving that you dare not move, and you prove your strength is to stand still. And that is what the Lord will have you do. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. But how often we are afraid of the future, the unknown way, the unknown tomorrow. Sometimes there is a great mountain before you. Who art thou, O great mountain? And how afraid we are of those black, gloomy, menacing mountains that seem as though they will fall on us and crush us, and no way round them or through them, and we are afraid of them. Oh, but to trust in the Lord, who is able to make those mountains a way, to hear him say, I will make all my mountains a way, to see that wonderful word, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. What time I am afraid, afraid of the unknown way, I will seek to trust in thee, to commit my way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Oh, and to hear the Lord Jesus say, I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. To look to the unknown way. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, whatever your Galilee is, however much it makes you afraid. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. He is there already. He is preparing for you. He is waiting for you. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Sometimes, creatures of fear we drag along, and fear where no fear is. And sometimes it is just a general fear of the unknown way. Sometimes the world very kindly says, don't be afraid. And in your innermost heart, you appreciate what the world says. But there is every reason to be afraid. But when the word of God says, do not be afraid, we have no need to fear. The wonderful thing about Scripture is it does not speak of us as we ought to be, as we should be. It speaks of us as we really are. And the Lord, in love and mercy and compassion, knows how often we are afraid. He does not say you should not be afraid. He most kindly and graciously comes like a loving mother to a frightened child. That is a good word. As one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In the midst of trouble, afraid. And what is a trouble to one is not a trouble to another. But when trouble comes, it is a gloomy cloud, and it does gather thick, and it does thunder loud, and it does make us afraid. Oh, but in the midst of trouble, to be enabled to look to the Lord Jesus. I wonder if those three Hebrew children were afraid before they were cast into the burning fiery furnace. We know the end of it. we know they were delivered. But it was a terrible thing, a dreadful thing. The flame shall not hurt thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Lo, I see four men loose, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. There are so many fears. What is a fear to one is not a fear to another. Some people have the most strange things of which they are afraid. But the Lord knows, and he understands. He will not break the bruised reed. He will not quench the smoking flax. And then as you come towards the end, afraid of dying, how many, even of God's most eminent saints, have been afraid of dying? Oh, but when they come there, they can't be confounded. The Lord will appear. It is even there shall thy hand lead me, and even there thy right hand shall hold me. Oh, but if afraid of death, to come there, trusting in the Redeemer's blood. Well, just afterwards, David says in verse 4, in God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I will trust and not be afraid. Oh, the kindness and compassion of the Lord, his loving sympathy with his poor, trembling, timorous, fearing children, and how lovingly he exhorts them to confidence in himself. Trust him. He will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor will let us quite leave him. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £835, for which we are very thankful. The Sunday school this afternoon has been cancelled because Mr. Ramsbottom is not able to take it. God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish will preach this evening, as was announced earlier, and Mr. Jabez Rutt on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day. God willing, he will administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. Hymn 956.
stand there thirsty. How could I work them when all was easy? I work but cannot draw room. My help must come from. Oh, do me mercy. Lord, may we not forget what we have. Oh, may we think of me. Lord, where there are those, oh, do help us to trust. Lord, those things which we should be doing, oh, do save us from a sleepy condition. Lord, save us from being unconcerned. Oh, do grant us real concern. Oh, for those vital things. Lord, those prevented thy servant from being. We have been failing to hear one of his previous sermons, Lord, blessedly. Now we would pray for us, Lord, to be living within this time. Lord, if enabled to get to thy house, be blessed in here. Lord, if confined to his heart, oh, we pray, our people. Lord, do restore him again to health and strength. Oh, bless him. Oh, we would pray for thy servant who we hope to hear this. Lord, do help him at Ashwell today. Bring him up to us this evening in peace and strength. Oh, do pour in as he may pour. Lord, so help him on the cross. Oh, we pray to help him again tonight. May he be thy messenger.